Okay, everyone, please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8. The book of Luke, chapter 8. We are in verse 16. Luke, chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. While you are turning there, if you could look at the screen, I guess the wall. This is the Mitaki Green Chapel homepage, and on the page, you'll find on the left side, where am I? Should be, there it is, right there. You'll see here 2013 and a little Bible. And if you click there, it's the Bible reading plan for the year that we have for our church. And for many of you, excuse me, for some of you, you are following it already. But for those of you who are not following it and are wondering, is it too late for me to join? It's not too late. And if you click on to the English part for the month of March, starting today, March 24th, it's the Easter week reading. So this is a good chance for you if you feel like, I haven't really caught up, or I'm falling behind on the Bible reading for the year. This week is a kind of pause, and every scripture for this week is the Passion Week, basically the week leading up to the cross. And so you have a reading from Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John every day throughout this week. And then after, when this week is done, in Easter, starting next Monday, you'll begin again. And we're in Deuteronomy and Luke. But just a chance for you to do it. And if not, if you're not into the reading plan, that's just fine. But if you want to get your heart and your mind ready for Easter, and just so that when Easter comes, you're not like, what? Oh, it's Easter? Then you have something there. So just a resource for you if you'd like. Okay. Oh, yeah, I could just do this. Okay, so we are in Luke chapter 8, verse 16. We're going to read the three verses, 16, 17, and 18. And it's there in your bulletin. Hopefully you have it in your own Bible, because I'll be referencing many verses that are not in your bulletin. So let's read together Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. Ready? Let's go. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. The very words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, in your bulletin on the cover page, Jim prepared it, and he left out the title of our sermon today. And that was very kind of him to do that. Please go ahead and write it in if you have a pen on you or pencil. Today's subject is Kingdom Light. Kingdom Light. Why is it Kingdom Light? Because simply last week's sermon was Kingdom Listening. So I thought, oh, that's clever. Last week was Kingdom Listening. This week will be Kingdom Light. Coming from verse 16, put your lamp on its stand. Now, for many of you, you are familiar with these words of Jesus. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a jar or under their bed. And in fact, you may be thinking, oh boy, here we go. We have to shine our light. We have to share the gospel. We have to tell people and everybody We have to put Facebook updates and status updates, and we have to go to our family who are not Christians and talk about Jesus as much as possible. Well, let's listen carefully. Jesus uses this example or this image of the kingdom of God four times in the scriptures, twice in the book of Luke, and then once in Mark, and then once in Matthew. The way that he uses them is not the same in each one, and that's very important. Today's sermon is not about sharing the gospel. Every sermon is about sharing the gospel. That's in there, but like last week, this is a continuation of last week's sermon. Last week's sermon was kingdom listening. So the question last week, for those of you who were not here, was, are you listening? Are you listening? Because Jesus, from verse 1 through verse 18, is giving us a teaching. And the one point, the big picture, the big idea of that teaching is, are you listening? He says it many times. He says in the very middle at verse 10, he who has an ear, let him hear. And then he says it again and again when he's giving the interpretation of the parable. The first soil is the one who heard. The second soil is the one who heard. The third soil is the one who heard. The fourth, the one who heard. He who has an ear, let him hear. Are you listening? Are you listening? And then he continues with, after talking about the fourth soil, which produces crops hundredfold, goes on to say, why? Because no one takes a lamp and puts it under a jar. What's he saying? What's the connection between verse 15 and verse 16 and then 17 and 18? And so if you consider what Jesus is saying in the context of our passage, then you'll know he's not talking about going out and telling everybody about himself and sharing the gospel. He's saying this. Are you shining? Last week, are you listening? This week, are you shining? And what do we mean by that? Well, you look at verse 15. Verse 15 is that fourth soil. Verse 15 is the one who heard the good news, who heard the teaching of the gospel, who heard the cross being preached, who heard the grace and the love and forgiveness that's in the teaching of the scriptures, of the gospel. And with an honest and noble heart, he retained it and through perseverance produced a crop. In other words, the person who is shining is the person who is producing the crop. There's that connection. He kind of flipped the metaphors. He kind of flipped the symbols there. On the first symbol was the soil and the crops and the wheat, something I cannot relate to because I'm a city boy. And then he goes from there to the lights, a lamp and a lampstand. That's something I can relate to because we all understand what a lamp is. And he says, it's pretty obvious, it's pretty ridiculous that anyone who doesn't produce or doesn't, that has a light puts it under something to hide the light. What is he saying? He's saying, look, are you listening? And if you're listening, how do I know? It means you're applying what you've heard. And by applying what you've heard, you're producing a crop. You're producing fruit in your life. Oh, and it's such a kind of fruit and it's such a kind of change in your life that it's something like going from darkness into light. The kind of change that I give to you is so radical and so revolutionary that you go from lights off to lights on, from the nighttime to the day, from in the tunnel to out in the clear blue sky. That's the kind of change that's in your life if you apply what you have heard. Are you shining? Is your life new? Is it changed? So that's verse 16. And then he goes on to say, because here's, and now here's the principle. He says, because that which is hidden, there's nothing that's hidden that will not someday be brought forth, that will not be uncovered. What is he saying there? What is he saying there? You can't take that without understanding what he said previously. You go back to verse 10. I want you to go back to verse 10. And if you have a Bible that's on a page, or if you're taking notes, you need to put right next to verse 16, you draw a line up to verse 10. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So there's that word, secrets, okay? Secrets, something hidden, something underneath, something covered. And what he's saying is, I'm bringing it all out in the open. The secrets of the kingdom basically says, look, people don't understand what it means to live in the will of God. People just didn't know how to relate to God. Why? Because of sin, because of deception, because of lies, because of a religious spirit. And Jesus says, I've come to bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is me, the king of the kingdom. So the more you know me, the more you understand the kingdom, and the more your life is changed. And now the secrets, the things you couldn't understand about life in God's will, it's all laid out for you now. How? In me, in Jesus Christ. Okay? And so everything that was hidden, nothing that was hidden, now it's all going to be uncovered. So that's very crucial. How do we shine? How do we live a life that shines to the glory of God? How do we put our lamp on the stand? We go to the King, to Jesus Christ, and we let him lead us into the light. That's the one principle that I really need to get down. There's one more line we need to draw. Let's go to verse 17. Oh, that was verse 17. Excuse me. Verse 17. And now verse 18. Verse 18. Here is the thesis of the whole passage, verse 1 through 18. There's the punchline. You need to underline it, circle it, make a star, all of that. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. That is it. Consider carefully how you listen. And so that he gives us those four soils, the one soil, it's the critical listening. It's the one that's really just whatever, say what you want, blah, 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 blah. It's just another sermon, and it's a hard heart, right? And then there's that second soil, he says, it's the one that's, oh, yes, oh, preach, Chris, preach, yes, give it to me, yes, that's the truth, amen. And then you go out these doors, and you don't know who you are again. You don't even know who Jesus is again. You're just wondering, and you come to church, and it's just an emotional thing. It's not a life thing, okay? And then there's the one that's the discouraged one, and then there's the distracted one. You come out of these doors, and it's the kids, it's the bills, it's tomorrow's job, it's the, you know, all the work that you got to do, and it's just, you know, everything, and you're just like, who? What did Chris say again? What was the pastor's sermon again? What was that? And you're just distracted. And it's like everything's just choking out everything that's been set up here. There's that third soil. So Jesus is saying, is that you? Is that anybody here? Consider carefully how you listen. And then there's that fourth soil that applies the word with a good and an honest heart. Consider carefully. Why should you consider carefully? It's just, he just goes to, from why to why to why. Here's the big one at the end of verse 18. Whoever does not, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. This is very, very important. Oh, I hope you're listening. I really hope you're listening. And again, we need to draw a line from another verse. Whoever has what? Whoever does not have what? What is it? Go back to verse 10. Go back to verse 10. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, I just explained that, has been given to you. Has been given to you. So what do you have? The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And what is that? What is the secret of the king? It's the king. It's Jesus. Jesus says, I've come. And he quotes Isaiah. Do you remember Isaiah? Chapter 6, verse 10. He quotes it right here. Those seeing, but they may not see. Who is Isaiah? A prophet 700 years before Jesus, was explaining that a king is coming. A king to rule and to reign and to judge between right and wrong. And Jesus is saying, I'm that king. I'm the one Isaiah was talking about. And so if you have me, that's all you need. Because if you have me, you're going to have a whole lot more. The problem is, many of you don't have me. 3 out of 4 of you don't have me. And that's the problem. Because what you think you have, even that's going to be taken away from you. Are you hearing that? This last week, the very last week of April, excuse me, not April, the second to last week of March, it's the week where the universities all across this country give out the result of their entrance exam. So high school students, graduates from high schools, finally, they know, did I pass the entrance exam or did I fail it? And this is the last week that they'll find out. The ones who are holding out their last hope, this is when they find out. And the ones who fail, the ones who graduate high school, have taken the exam, and then the result is you failed. You have now a choice. You can just forget about going to college and just get a job somewhere, try your best, or you can study by yourself because you're not going to school, you just graduated. And so the word for that student is who doesn't have a school but is doing a self-study, the Japanese word is ronin. Have you heard of this word, ronin? Basically, it comes from the samurai era where there were samurai who had no master, who didn't work for a lord. And so they were the wandering samurai, and they were called the ronin. And so now they have applied this word to the modern student who is trying to go into a university, who is studying by himself. He has no master. Okay? Now, you can go for 1 year and you study hard and you buy the entrance exam books and you get your notebooks and you're studying for 1 year, you're a ronin. And then in January, you take the test again, trying to get into Todai, Tokyo University, Kyodai, Kyoto University, Fukuoka Daigaku, Hiroshima Daigaku. And in March, you get the result. If you pass, hallelujah, you're no longer a ronin. If you fail the second time, you have a choice to make. You can forget about going to school, you get a job, or you become a ronin again, your second time. And the word for the second time, who is a ronin, is a nido. Nikai ronin. 2 times ronin. So they call you a nido. And so they say, what are you doing? You say, I'm a nido.
Oh, and for 1 year, you study and you study, you buy the books, and you go to a juku, a cram school, and you study some more, and maybe you do a little bit of part-time job, but okay, you're studying more, and then the whole year, and January comes around, you take the test again. You take the test, and in March, you get the results. If you pass, hallelujah. If you fail, you have a choice to make. Do you give up or do you study again? If you try to study again for another year, what do you become? What's the word? The word for a second year is nido. What's the word for the third? Sandro, right? But you know what they say? If you become a sandro, forget sandro. You become a tado. Ta. Ta means oi, many. Many. So this could be your 10th time. This could be your third time. It's all the same. You're a tattle. You're a tattle. Right? Because, this is what the teachers tell me. This is what my senpai, my veteran teacher said. Look, because we have a lot of students in our school who are ronin or nido. And they're trying to get into, Tokyo University, Hiroshima University, prestigious ones. And he says, look, for those who become a taro, they not only could they not get a university, they probably couldn't even get a job. Why? Because they're not applying what they've learned. Oh, they gambaru. They try hard. They're doing everything they can. It's meaningless because they are not putting their lamp on the stand. They're not applying what they've learned. They're not listening carefully. And so what they think they have, even that, it's worthless. What they think they know, even that, it's going to be taken away from them. It all comes to nothing. Because nothing was applied. Nothing was applied. I just need to get right to the point because we're on short on time. Who are you? Do you have salvation? Do you know Jesus? Do you really have him in your heart? Because if not, what you think you have, even that will be taken away from you. So listen carefully. Now, I need to say that to those of you who think you have them. For those of you who may have them and are wondering, I don't know, Chris, I don't know. Let me give you some grace. Jesus says it's for those who put their light lamp on the stand. I was reading just yesterday in my Bible reading. We're in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, amazing story. Jesus is baptized. He comes out of the water. He goes into the desert. He goes there. He eats nothing for 40 days. He's hungry. Satan comes to him. He says, Jesus, you're here. You're hungry. You're a human being. Jesus, you have desires. You have urges because you have flesh. Jesus, you should satisfy yourself. You deserve it. You've been fasting 40 days. You're human, Jesus. Turn these rocks into bread and feed yourselves. Satisfy those urges in your body. And Jesus says, Satan, man doesn't live by bread alone. I'm more than just flesh. I'm a spirit. I'm a soul. There's more to it than just my physical urges. Satan says, okay, all right, cool. So he takes them way up, and he shows them all the nations of the world. Satan, he says, Jesus, look, this is Africa, all the beauty of it, Kenya and Ghana and all that. And he takes them to Europe, and he says, look at all these beautiful places in Europe and all the kingdoms and all the buildings that they make. And he takes them to China, ancient China, and he says, look at all the wisdom and the knowledge and the beauty of these ancient civilizations. Jesus! I'm going to give it all to you. Why? Because look, Jesus, you left heaven. You had glory, Jesus. and you left it all out of there, and you came to earth and had no glory. You came here to get glory, and so I'm going to give it to you if you bow and give your whole life to me. Satan is talking to Jesus. He's saying, Jesus, I'm going to give you the glory you deserve if you give me your life. And Jesus answers Satan. He says, no. Look, I came here to do God's will. I came here for the glory of him. It's his glory, not your glory I want. I want his glory. And so he says, Satan, the Bible, even the Bible says, I said it, worship the Lord your God only. So Satan says, all right, okay, Jesus, all right, good job. You passed the test, okay, good. So he takes Jesus up to a tall, high place, the top of the temple in Jerusalem. Think like the Sky Tree, Tokyo Sky Tree, or the 101 Tower, or whatever, the tallest place. Okay, he says, Jesus, you know, it's not about your body, it's not about the glory. Okay, Jesus, yes, that's right. You know your Bible, Jesus. You know the scriptures. You study them, and you know God, and in fact, you know him so well, you can use him. You can manipulate him because you know the scriptures. You know the religion. You know the truth. And even Satan tells him the scriptures. He says, okay, Jesus, if you know the scriptures well, you remember this one? If you throw yourself down, he won't let your foot strike the rock. He'll let the angels catch you in their wings and he'll uphold you. You remember that one, Jesus? You can manipulate God through your religion and through your scriptures. And Jesus said, no. Look, it's not about manipulating God. The scriptures doesn't say manipulate God. It says don't even put God to the test. It's not about what I do for God, and God has to owe me anything. It's grace. So don't put God to the test. And so finally Satan just says, okay, I can't touch this guy. And he leaves him for a time. So what am I getting at? What you think you have, even that will be taken away from you. But for those of you who have something, you've been given something, you're going to be given more. And you think, I don't even know if I have Jesus. I don't even know if I have anything. Chris, I don't have my family. I don't have any money. I don't have any respect. I don't have any friends. Chris, I barely have my sanity. My spouse is going crazy. My kids are just, you know, all over the place. What do I have? And so Jesus says, excuse me, in Hebrews it says, Jesus was tempted in every way. He went through every test. He was discouraged in every way. He was disappointed in every way. And yet he was without sin. And so we go from Hebrews to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God, Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. What is he saying? You just believe in Jesus. You give yourself to Jesus. You'd have nothing, so just come with nothing. You come to the cross. And what does he do? He gives himself to you. Chris, I don't have anything perfect. Just bring yourself to Jesus. He'll give all his righteousness to you. And he says this, for those who have been given, they will be given more. And I'm not talking about your family and your respect and your status, and that'll all come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So what you have, if all you have is Jesus, if that's it, that's enough. And go back to him every day. Leave these walls and go to him every day. Please consider carefully how you listen. Are you listening and are you shining? That's our word for this week. Next week is Easter. I'm looking forward to it. I got a good word for you then. God bless. Oh, let's take some time to reflect and meditate. Please bow your heads. Take some time. Take a moment. and do some business with Jesus himself. Do some business with the Lord. Where are you? I'm going to ask Troy to come on up and lead us in our closing song. Lord Jesus, I just ask you to lay your hands on all of us here. Father, for those here who are blind, who are deceived, who think they might have you, and truly they don't, oh dear God, call them out of darkness. Call them into light. Help us, Lord. Teach us your ways that we could live and apply and grow and produce fruit that will last to the end. Oh God, help us. And then for those of us here, Lord Jesus, who have only you and nothing else, I pray that that would be enough, Lord, to at least get us to the next day. And Lord God, I pray that you would encourage the discouraged. I pray that you would uplift the downtrodden. I pray that you would feed the hungry, satisfy the thirsty, Lord Jesus. Finally, Lord Jesus, I rejoice that my brother Joseph was able to testify today and give you all the glory for his life. We rejoice with those who rejoice, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.